So we're back, so let's just dive into the slippery slope fallacy.
Right. Well, this is kind of a fallacy that anticipates the future in the worst possible way. It says,
okay,
well, look, here you're proposing this policy, but you know what would be next? What would be next would be this awful one. So why should we go with this when it's just going to, if we give you that, you're just going to want the next? And, of course, the answer is I'm not necessarily true that I'm going to want the next step on the slope. And this is tricky because sometimes it is true.
You're right.
You're risking that things will get even worse. So suppose we say, well, I don't want this tax hike, and I'm going to vote against it. And because if I give it to you, then next you're going to want to tax these things, too.
Yeah, oh, we've heard these kind of things, yeah.
You know, that's not a reason not to vote for this.
Right.
But it is a legitimate concern. I may say, okay, I'm going to vote for this, but you better know in advance I'm not going to vote for the next step. And maybe my opponent says, neither would I. I'm not going to ask for that.
Well, in families, you see that, you know, can I go out to eat? Go out to blah, blah, blah? And then
can I stay up till 11 o'clock instead of 10?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then you're going to want midnight, aren't you?
Right, yeah. And it happens in the churches. You know, how many times has, like, an idea come up? We've tried that before, and this happened.
Yeah.
And now if we try this now, this is for sure going to happen, and worse.
Yeah.
So you have it's like a slippery slope.
Yeah, we're headed down the slope. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, here's the next one. The false dilemma. False dilemma.
Yeah. There's a classic example of this. And,
okay.
The classic example comes from Plato. He raises this as a moral predicament in one of his dialogues, the Euthyphro. He asks, is it the case that something is good, and that's why the gods love it? They love it because it is good.
Okay.
Or is it the case that whatever the gods love is good because they love it?
Okay.
Now, the dilemma seems to be this. In the one case, there's a standard of good that the gods didn't create and have no control over. Let's remove it from Plato's polytheism to God.
Okay.
And because the Christians have thought that this was a genuine dilemma, and I don't think it is.
Okay.
Let's phrase it about our God. Is it the case that what is good is what God loves because it is good? Or is something good because God loves it?
Okay.
Or we could say command. Is it that God loves this because absolutely it is good and he has to love it because it is good? Or is it that whatever is good is what God commands us to do and whatever is evil is what he says not to do? And the only reason that they're good or evil is that he said not to do them.
Okay.
Now, the reason I think this is a false dilemma is that it doesn't take into account the biblical idea of creation.
Right.
God calls into being a world, a universe that did not exist at all.
Right.
And he creates it so that some things really are good and some things really are evil. His commandments to us, take the Ten Commandments as an example. His commandments to us reveal how he created the world. So good isn't good independently of him. It's good because he made it that way.
Right.
But then it isn't good for us to obey it only because he said so.
Right.
It's good for us to obey it because that really is good.
Right.
But he made it that way. And the Ten Commandments aren't making things good or evil, they're revealing to us how he already created us in the world.
Right. In some ways, it's a subtle type of argument to spot.
Yeah.
Because it sounds, a lot of things sound close.
You know, Plato thought that dilemma was genuine, that there's no third option, and we just produce the third option.
Right.
The standards are not independent of God. He created them too.
Right.
But then he reveals them to us when he commands us to obey them.
That's very interesting. Now here's another one. The circular argument.
Mm.
Okay.
These can be very subtle and difficult to spot. But let's use an example that isn't subtle and isn't difficult to spot. Suppose I were to give somebody an argument that went for the conclusion, God exists.
Okay.
And the first premise is The Bible says God exists.
Okay.
Second premise is God oversaw the writing of the Bible. The third premise is God can't lie. Therefore, God exists.
Uh-huh.
Now, in order for me to know or believe the second premise, God oversaw the writing of the Bible, I have to already believe God exists. So that premise already assumes the conclusion.
Okay.
So it can't be used to derive the conclusion.
Right.
That makes it circular.
Right.
And the old-timey word for this is begs the question.
Oh.
So if we ask the question, why do you believe in God? And you give those three answers, those three premises as your answer, that's a very bad answer. That argument begs the question, just leads to the question all over again. Because
right.
when you come to premise two and it says God oversaw the writing of the Bible, you ask, how do you know that?
Right.
You'd have to already know God existed.
Right.
So you can't use that as a justification for the conclusion God exists.
Now, yeah, as a philosopher, this is a little side question. Do you notice logical fallacies in real time?
Yes.
Do you?
Oh.
Really?
I don't like to pick on anybody, but one day I listened to Glenn Beck on the radio,
mm-hmm.
and he jammed more fallacies into 15 minutes than I have ever heard anybody do.
Right. Okay.
So, yes, you can hear them. And not only that, I've told this to my students, and they've found that it's true. When you learn the rules, not these things, these are all mistake ways to make mistakes.
Right, right.
But when you learn the legitimate rules of logic, you hear somebody following them too. As you listen to the argument, you can, yeah, that follows, yeah, that's right. You can hear it. And it's almost uncanny. When you get really good with the rules, you can read through an argument and know right away that it's valid or it's not, even though you don't know all the steps of the proof.
Okay.
Then you work it out, you do the proof, but you can just hear it. You can hear the validity or the invalidity because the rules have become part of the furniture of your mind, and you apply them even unconsciously.
Now, I took I also took logic, and after a while, you can just feel... when you talk, if a premise is correct. After it was like generally, I don't think to myself, A plus B equals C or all these other things like that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say it's true for you, or do you actually still think? Yeah,
it's not the premises so much as the conclusion.
Or the conclusion
following.
Yeah.
The conclusion follows from the premises. Yeah, I can just hear that. Or see that it's not so. Or sometimes it's a little confusing. I listen to an argument and something's wrong.
Right,
but is it because the conclusion doesn't follow, or is it because it begs the question?
Oh,
in which case,
so
the conclusion does follow, but it doesn't matter because the premise already assumed it.
Right,
or it could be even that the argument's inconsistent. That there's a contradiction somewhere.
Give us real briefly here, like the premise and conclusion, real quickly. So just so, whet the appetite. No, we do have logic classes, and you know, whet the appetite of how that works.
Well, there are certain forms, logical forms, that are rules. So if we have a rule that if P, then Q,
okay,
if that's true, if P implies Q, in other words, if P is true, Q is.
Okay, so I'll give an example of that.
If it rains, the sidewalk will get wet.
Okay.
All right. Now, it rained. The sidewalk got wet.
Right.
That's a legitimate inference.
Yeah.
Okay, but... do it another way, and it isn't. Right. If it rains, the sidewalk will get wet. The sidewalk's wet. Does that show it rained?
No. Somebody could have watered it.
No, that's right. Right. There's snow melt.
Right.
10 dogs.
Yeah.
Whatever. There's all kinds of other ways for the sidewalk to get wet. So
right.
That's not a no. That's a fallacy.
Yes.
It's called the antecedent.
Right.
So you don't want to be doing that.
Right.
So we learn the rules, and we learn the mistakes you can make with the rules. I used to draw the mistakes on the board and then put a big circle around and horns on their heads, tell the students, these are the bogus brothers. Don't be fooled by them.
Good. Well, this was very good. I'm sure we're going to learn more in our next session.